you like this episode, please subscribe, share with others, rate and review so we can continue to bring you great programming.
This is The Thing About Cars, a podcast for car enthusiasts and the people who love them.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Thing About Cars. I'm one of your hosts, Mickey Desai. Very happy to be joining around the table today with our good friends. Ben, how are you, Ben?
Hey, I'm pretty awesome. How about you?
I'm fantastic. And the one and only trivia czar himself, Tim. How are you, Tim?
Doing great, Mickey. Thank you.
Excellent. And our special guest for today is Abby Kay. Abby, what's going on?
Not much. How are you guys?
I'm good. I've got to tell the story about how we met just because it was kind of funny, or at least it was kind of funny to me. I'm walking through downtown Nashville. Does that count as downtown?
I don't know. I guess not. Yeah. I'm new to Nashville. I don't know.
Oh, where were you before?
North Carolina.
Ah, of course. So that makes sense when the audience hears what I'm about to say, which is I'm walking through Nashville. And I'm there with my Usagi Medical Group crew. We do medicine and first aid for geeky conventions across the Southeast. And we're wrapping up our meal. And I see this woman walking into the restaurant with a Cat House Hollywood t-shirt on. And of course, my brain goes immediately to, hey, do you listen to Ricky Rockman's podcast? Not thinking that the woman I'm actually talking to did what, Abby?
So basically, I was the merchandise manager for Cat House Hollywood, a little bit of Ricky's assistant. Actually, when you scheduled your interview with him, you were actually talking to me.
No kidding.
So I actually scheduled the interview with you and him.
That's hilarious.
Wow. Yeah, no, I had heard of you guys before.
That's just too funny. Okay, so that's I love it. I did not know that, and I also didn't know that you have a your own history with cars, including a family history in the racing world. Isn't that right?
Yes. So my dad has been in NASCAR for about 30 years now.
Wow.
He's worked for lots of race teams all over the board, but he's currently at Team Penske. He's been there since before I was born. And he's had quite a bit of success there.
That's just amazing.
Yeah.
So my first question for you is, how did you get to Nashville?
So I am a full-time musician, hence why my first job was at Cat House Hollywood. So I play bass and I sing hard rock. I have my own band. We're called the Abby Kay. And basically I graduated high school and I was like, why not? North Carolina, it has a great scene, but it's not my music. And I thought that I would do well in Nashville. So I kind of packed up and left. And we live in a band house now. My bandmates are like my brothers. And we're just getting on Nashville. And the funny thing is, we've been there 6 months. Mm-hmm. And we moved to Nashville. And most of the time, we're not in Nashville. Which I guess is kind of the goal. But, for example, we moved there in October. And the entire month of November through the end of January, we were on tour with Nita Strauss from Alice Cooper all over the country. So a lot of our time is spent outside of Nashville, but Nashville is now our home base. So that's great.
Yeah,
that's very cool. I know I want to leave the floor open to my colleagues here to ask questions, but I know this is the thing about cars, but I have to ask you about the music in this world, especially why hard rock? I mean, has hard rock fallen out of fashion? Is that not a fair statement to say? I'm not really sure what question I'm trying to get at here, but why hard rock for you, Abby?
Basically, it's very simple. I have a cool dad. I was raised with this rule. I would ask for like Taylor Swift and Justin Bieber songs to be put on my iPod. My dad would have to help me because I was like 4 or 5. And he would be like, okay, cool. So I would get Baby by Justin Bieber, but he would also throw in Iron Maiden and Kiss and Metallica. Uh-huh. I was 4 or 5 years old. I didn't know how to get rid of it like my sister did. So I was just forced to listen to it. And I guess I just caught on. So when I was 12, I was like, okay, Dad, are you ever going to take me to a concert? So he took me to see Kiss. That's kind of where it all started for me.
That's fantastic. My first major concert was also a Kiss show, but I won't tell you the date of that show because... because it's ancient history at this point, but that is really fantastic. And kudos to your dad for giving you that exposure as well.
Yeah. I'm glad you've been assimilated.
You guys have any questions for Abby before I continue?
Well, since we're a car show, yes. What kind of vehicle do you tour in?
So we have, I memorized this before I came on here. We have a Freightliner Sprinter 2500 15 passenger van, and we pull a trailer with it. And we've actually converted that, so we have four bunks in the back. Got a solar panel on top. Once again, my dad builds race cars for a living, so he's able to do all that stuff for us.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sprinters are great too. They're amazing vehicles. So much better than, well, I used to be friends with back when I was in college and playing in bands, I had some buddies from Buffalo, New York, and they'd come down through the Southeast and play the college towns. Yeah. And they stayed at my place every time they came through, and they had this crapped out, beat up Dodge van. It actually had a manual gearbox. It was probably a 78 model or something. You know, the rocker panels had been rusted out, and then the rust holes had been covered with duct tape and then primered over. You know, the only seats were the two in front, one of which wasn't very well attached to the floor. And what they would do is they just pile up the amps in the back and lay some sleeping bags on top of the pile of amps. Mm-hmm. And one guy would drive while the others were conked out and back on the way to the next town after the show. And you got a better setup than they did.
Yeah.
I'm jealous. I've always wanted a Sprinter for no good reason at all. I just want to outfit it and put my office back there and drive around and maybe, you know, make a mobile recording studio. That would be kind of cool.
I rented one.
I like that they look really tall.
Yeah. We can get them with different roof heights and different lengths, and they're very modular, but they drive really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Ben, can we stand up in one?
With the high roof option, yes.
Oh, sweet. All right.
Can we slam it and put in a gigantic supercharged engine and flames along the side?
There's enough room back there that if you wanted to, you could do a mid-engine Merlin setup in it.
Sweet. There we go. So I've got a question for Abby. Can you introduce us to either Geddy Lee or Tim Cindric?
So actually, yeah. Not Geddy Lee. I wish. But Tim is my dad's boss. I've had quite a few conversations with him. He has, I guess, a lot of people in the music industry are also into the racing industry and vice versa. So he has a lot of connections there. So I've had a few conversations with him. The one story that I have from him is he walked by my dad's office one day, and it was like the week after he had missed work to go see me play the Whiskey a Go-Go for the first time. And he had asked my dad how that show was. So I don't believe I've actually met him personally, but we have had email conversations back and forth regarding music things and connections, things like that. And he's very nice. Like, I'm just some 19-year-old girl. Like, I don't expect him to give me the time of day, but he's actually been very helped me. So
awesome. Well, glad you're connected to, you know, semi-racing royalty.
So. Yeah.
All right. So we're going to do a quick moment of grand trivia auto with the show here. Tim, reel me in if I get this one wrong. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that I may be misquoting some of this stuff. But today's trivia tidbit: which vehicle was the last to be sold with a four-barrel carburetor in the United States? Was it A, a Chevy Caprice / Olds Custom Cruiser / Buick Estate Wagon / Cadillac Brougham equipped with a 370 cubic inch V8 topped with a Rochester Quadrajet carburetor? That's just a lot. That's just that's a big freaking sentence. So was it that GM option, all that GM goodness with the big V8 and the Rochester Quadrajet? B, was it a Land Rover Range Rover with a 3.9 liter V8? Pulling fuel through a Holley 4150 four barrel? Was it a Dodge Ram Charger powered by a 360 cubic inch engine, fed by a Carter Thermoquad carburetor? And or was it D, a Ford Mustang with a 302 and a Motorcraft four barrel? So I'll go through those again. Was it a Chevy Caprice GM thing with all these various things on it, a 307 cubic inch displacement V8 engine topped with the Rochester Quadrajet? Was it a Land Rover with the 3.9 liter V8 pulling through a Holley 4150? Was it a Dodge Ram Charger powered by a 360 fed by a Carter Thermoquad carburetor? Or was it a Ford Mustang with a Motorcraft four barrel? Abby, as you're our guest, you want to make your first guess?
I have to guess?
Yes.
We all put in a guess.
Yes. We all put in.
You know, I'm actually kind of impressed. I recognize some of those words from the language that's used in my house. I did recognize some of those words. What was the Dodge Charger?
Dodge Ram Charger. That's your guess? Okay, that's a good guess.
Sure.
Cool. Tim, you probably know the answer already since you gave me the question.
Well, I researched the question so long ago, I've forgotten the actual answer. my gut tells me it's the Dodge Ram Charger.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just go with that.
Okay, so two for the Dodge Ram Charger. Ben?
Gosh, they all sound really plausible. And of course, the GM one sounds like a Starbucks order.
I'll take the Rochester Quadrajet with an extra shot of nitrous, please.
Yeah, really. Yeah, they do all sound, well, some sound a little more plausible than others, but you know, just for the weird factor, I'm going to go with the Dodge too.
The Dodge. So three for Dodge. And Tim, you knocked this out of the park with your own question here. Nobody got it right. the correct answer is it's the GM option. The Chevy Caprice, the old custom cruiser, the Buick, blah, 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 had a 307 cubic inch displacement engine in it with a Rochester Quadrajet carburetor. And I guess you have to name the Quadrajet, you have to name a carburetor, all these things just to make it sound sexy, even though it's just a carburetor, right? It's just a place for the fuel to find a place to hang out and wait before it gets poured into an engine. So,
that was back when carburetors were come from the era where engines were given cool names too. Like you had like an Oldsmobile Fireball 8-cylinder Quadrajet sounds like it's, that's four barrels and jets are cool. So this must be a really good carburetor.
And when I was a kid though, the way that all my children's books explained carburetors was they basically took like one of those perfume atomizers, not that our listeners can see the hand signs I'm making, but a little squeeze thing to put perfume on hooked up to a toilet. That was how, I'm serious. That's how my children's books explained carburetors.
That's hilarious.
Nice. Yeah, because the toilet tank mechanism is what happens in your carburetor bowl.
Right.
And then the perfume atomizer is what happens in the jets.
That's right. That's exactly right. So the
for futures, Mickey, anytime that you're given a list of the old General Motors vehicles where you had four vehicles that were basically exactly the same except for what the grill looked like, it's fair to just put them all out there, and then from there, therefore, that point forward, refer to them as being an Ultima Buick.
Yeah. Ultima Buick.
Thank you to Fletch.
Yes. Got it. Right. All right. So the bonus trivia here, which Tim included, is a little nice tidbit. It was the 1994 Isuzu pickup to earn its place as the last new vehicle sold in the United States with a carburetor. The old school device fed a 2.3-liter inline four with a rear-wheel drive and a 5-speed mounted gearbox. That was the last vehicle to be fed with a carburetor of any kind. Is that what I'm to understand here, Tim?
In the U.S., yes.
In the U.S., right.
Last four-wheeled vehicle or last thing you could register as a car for use on the street.
So is there any car, not in the U.S., but globally, that still uses a carburetor instead of fuel injection?
I don't know if there's any currently, but I know for a long time, Mexico had much less stringent emissions regulations, as far as basically having none. That's why, like, the Volkswagen Beetle was produced there until, Ben, you'd probably know
recently
around about when that was. But yeah,
not that long ago,
Right.
All right, Abby, what are you driving today when you're not in the Freightliner?
Kia Sorento.
That's cool. Did you choose the Kia? Why are you driving that instead of anything else?
I'm driving that because it was a free car when it has
a good reason.
250,000 miles on it. Sometimes it smokes when you turn it on. but you know what? It was a free car. So
free is the best price tag, actually. Yes.
Right. That's a perfect vehicle for a starving musician.
Yes. That is very cool. What would you change about that car if you could?
I would really love if it didn't smoke, turn it on. That would probably make me feel a lot safer about where I'm driving. And I'm actually, so it was a hand-me-down for my parents. I'm actually looking to buy my first car later this year. I have no idea what I'm going to get. The only factor is it has to be big enough for music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good thing you're not a drummer.
Yeah.
Real. Right. Yeah.
Is the color of the smoke white or black, or what would you, how would you describe blue. That? Or blue.
Sometimes it's a little bit of everything. Ooh. Usually it's black, though, and it comes from under the hood.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
My dad has fixed it quite a few times. Every time I come home to North Carolina, he works on my car. Yeah, it's it's quite the experience, but you know what? It's been fine so far.
Yeah.
Don't want to say that. I'm about to drive 7 hours home tonight, but yeah. Hopefully it holds on to the end of the year, and then I can get my first car.
I'm sure you're not going to have a problem. Ben, you were having some sort of epiphany about smoke color and location.
Well, not so much really, but just kind of marveling at the multicolored aspect and that it's coming from, up front rather than out the tailpipe.
Yeah, that immediately made me think valve cover gasket.
Yeah, that's possible. All kinds of things are possible, really.
Yeah that's true.
Yes.
But that sounds
logical.
Yeah. Valve cover gasket being the easiest of things to fix, among the easiest of things to fix, yes.
And pretty common, too, as leaks go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Very common.
Right.
All right. So I have other trivia here. Where did I put it, Tim?
Look to your left. I don't know.
There's nothing there.
Fooled you.
Yeah. We'll edit that out. No, we're going to save that trivia question for next time. So, Abby, you traveling all over the country. Is it hard? I mean, I know people dream of living the life and forming your own band and recording. And is it difficult? Is it your, are you happy? That's a stupid question. Well, let me just ask, is it hard? How hard is it?
It is the hardest thing I've ever had to do, but it's the most rewarding thing that I've ever done. I love it. It is not for everyone. And honestly, it didn't used to be for me. I'm a very type A, have things planned out. That's not possible. Road. Things happen. You can't plan for everything. Things happen. And all of a sudden your world is turned upside down and you have to figure it out in the moment. So I think it's actually been really good for me, and it's kind of like loosen up and be able to adjust to things better, which I think actually helps me out more in my industry, in life, and anything that you do, things go wrong and things don't always. So I definitely think that I've changed as a person for the better because of what I'm, but it is definitely not for everyone, and it is difficult, especially as a young woman living with guys in a van. I love them. I hate them. It just depends on the day. They are like my brothers. We live right. together in Nashville, so it's just, we're together all the time,
yeah.
regardless if we're on the road or at home. They truly are like my brothers. So really just on what's going.
Yeah. Let's take a look at your history with Ricky for a moment. Was he able to shed any advice or help in your journey towards becoming a professional musician?
Absolutely. Basically, for the year that I worked for him, every day I told him, okay, this is going on. And he gave me his advice on it. And obviously, I really valued his advice. I mean, he's been there. He's done that. He's quite a big name. And he knows a lot more than I do. I really trusted his advice. And basically, before I signed anything, before I released anything, went through Ricky. And he would tell me, okay, this is good. This is bad. One thing that I really loved about Ricky was he was not afraid to give his honest opinion, which is really good in this industry because I don't need things sugar-coated and then I put down thing or I do something not right. He was not afraid to tell, no, this is stupid, don't do that.
Right.
This is stupid, don't do that. This doesn't sound good, don't put that out. Which, I mean, in the moment I was like, oh man, Ricky Rackman doesn't like my stuff. But obviously it was very helpful.
Yeah, he's going to tell you what he thinks because he does respect you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And actually, Ricky was in one of my music videos for Pay Attention. I asked him to basically, that it was basically like me going into a business meeting and all these older men aren't paying attention to young female. And he was like the head of that table. It was really fun.
That is pretty cool. Who are the other mentors in your life? You mentioned your dad being a major figure. Ricky, of course. Who else stands out in your mind as being the major players who have helped you move your life forward in some meaningful way?
Definitely Nita Strauss. Like I said, I was on tour with Nina November through the end of January. And to put it this way, Nina calls me her little sister of Shred. So, of course, that makes me happy.
Nice.
We've known each other for about 4 years now. And she is always the one that I go to if I need help, if I need advice, if something isn't going right. I go to her and she's, okay, you need to do this. Okay, let's do this. Let's figure this out. A few times she's done a Zoom meeting with me when I was just getting advice. She is truly amazing. And I know a lot of rock stars, they can be amazing when they have that turned on, and then they can be really crappy people. But I've seen Nita on tour dealing with the most frustrating situations, the most difficult situations. I've seen everything behind the scenes. She is truly just an and like, I don't even know how I could do that. If I was in her position, if I was in that big of a music career and those situations, like, I don't know how she's doing it. That's so frustrating. But she just handles everything like a pro, and she's genuinely a good.
That's very cool. Yeah. Does your professional life as a musician have you interfacing with the actual world of racing or car shows or anything like that in any way?
Okay, not yet, but I want to. I want my band to play at the Daytona 500. That is my racing musical goal. When my two worlds collide, that's what I want to happen. That's probably not going to be the first thing to happen, of course. I don't even care if it's singing the national anthem at like a small race, just anything that I can do to get there, because I think a lot of racing fans are hard rock fans. A lot of hard rock fans are racing fans. I think those two go hand in hand. Just like you have Ricky Rackman, he does both. Nita Strauss is actually just now getting the racing industry. She, I don't remember what race it was, but she played at a race in LA. So
now,
I think
you actually have an end to this, you know, since your dad works for Tim Cindric, and Tim Cindric works directly for Roger Penske. And Roger Penske owns the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. They do have at the Indy 500 the Snake Pit every year. So there's the send him an email. How do I get signed up for the Snake Pit?
Well, okay, well, I need to talk to my dad. Tell him to get working on it.
There you go. Yeah.
If I may also suggest, put SEMA on your radar, because I know SEMA has I don't know how much of an interface with the world of music, but I'm pretty sure that there's entertainment of all kinds happening around the big SEMA show in Vegas every year.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Let's do one more trivia question, and then we might consider wrapping the episode here. This question from Tim, which hopefully you don't remember this one either, Tim. Tim's like, yes, no, yes. What was the last new car sold with the cassette tape player? Stock, right? Obviously. So what was the last new car sold with the cassette tape player? Was it a 2010 Lexus SC430? Was it a 2010 Cadillac CTS wagon? Was it a 2010 Lincoln Town Car? Or was it a 2010 Rutan, which is a VW product, I think, right, Tim?
Right. That's their minivan.
It's their minivan. So again, what was the last new car sold with a cassette tape player? Was it a 2010 Lexus, 2010 Cadillac, 2010 Lincoln Town Car, or a 2010 Rutan? Abby, you want to take a stab at this?
2010 Lincoln Town Car.
That's a great guess. That's a fantastic guess. Tim, do you remember the answer?
I do. So let's let Ben guess first.
Okay.
So I don't contaminate his
brainwaves. Yeah. I'm really tossed up between the Lincoln and the Lexus.
Why?
Well, I don't want to get into the long end of it, but you know, kind of, you know, cushy cars that affluent older drivers who are a little bit low tech in their music are going to be driving. So yeah, I'm really tossed up between the two. I think I'll go with the Lexus just to be different.
Okay, cool. Tim.
I'm pretty sure it's the Lexus.
You are correct, Tim. Tim has a good memory on this one. It is the 2010 Lexus SC430. Lexus offered an in-dash cassette player through the 2010 model and its SC430 convertible. Sadly, the V8 drop top fails to see the 2011 model year, and the factory-equipped cassette player died with it. that's the answer. Good stuff. Abby, can I ask you some our standard three or four questions now?
Yes.
All right. Well, number one, what is your dream car?
A tour bus.
I love it. That is fantastic. All right. So should I be a jerk and ask about a personal daily driver car? What would you like to have in the garage?
I don't know. Let's see.
You don't have to answer the question. I think I like the tour bus answer a great deal, actually.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Cool. What makes a tour bus fun, or are they fun? Is it just sleeping quarters in an area to just party and stuff? Or is there some feature you've seen in a tour bus that you would want in your own personal tour bus?
Oh, it's just so cool. If I'm getting like really picky here, mm-hmm. I like the ones that have the lights like on the floor under the seats. I just think that's cool. It looks cool.
Yeah.
It makes me feel fancy. And I like the ones... There's the type that you have to like actually slide open the door, and then there's the one that you push the button and it's just like Star Wars. I want the push button. I think that's also very cool.
Now, is there a feature you've never seen in a tour bus that you would like to be cutting edge and be the first to have?
Oh man, I don't know.
What do you mean, Ben, like a
anything?
Like a machine that serves frozen Coke squishies or something? Is that what you're thinking of?
Anything you want.
I've got an idea.
Yeah.
Where the sound system as the bus is pulling away from a stop, instead of hearing a big rumbling diesel noise, you hear the sound of a Ferrari V12.
All right. We're running out of time rapidly here. So, Abby, where is your next road trip going to be for fun?
Actually, in a few minutes when I drive back home to Nashville, but... our summer tour kicks off of May. We're going all over. Our first stop is in Lebanon, Tennessee. So that's only like a 30-minute drive, not really a road trip. Our first road trip is, this show isn't announced yet, so you guys are the first. We have a show in Birmingham that we're going to announce soon. And the next day we're in Starkville, Mississippi. That's June 17th. So that's our next road trip, I guess.
That's cool. Where will you be playing here in Atlanta?
We're not in Atlanta.
Oh.
We're in Birmingham.
Oh, okay.
Birmingham and Starkville, Mississippi.
I got it.
We do have a private party in Atlanta, so we may end up scheduling something in the area.
Cool. If you do, keep us posted. I'd love to come see you perform. Question number three. What's the most fascinating thing you've seen on the road or in someone's garage?
So... my dad is the kind of person that doesn't really do well with parting with things. So our garage outside, you just never know what you're going to find. You have different parts from different cars from the past 30 years. We have like a 1970 something out there. I don't even know. We have a barn, a toy barn from when I was 3 out there. We have a trampoline out in the garage. We have 2 rows of van seats that we've taken out for the conversion. You have a lot of tools that I have no idea what they are. A lot of nails and screws on the ground. Basically, in our garage, you can't fit a car in there because it's filled with car parts.
Actually sounds perfect.
You could mix match probably and build like 4 total cars. Just have like a Frankenstein, 4 Frankenstein cars.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I'm like, you
and
know,
that maybe... may be what my dad has been trying to do for the past 20 years and just hasn't gotten around to it. I don't know. I don't know what his intentions are with it.
If you need some help, let us know. We're happy to come up and do the Frankenstein thing. That sounds really cool. My last question for all of our guests is always something random and stupid and silly off of a large list of random and stupid and silly questions. So we may actually ask you 2 of these. What is your favorite holiday to celebrate?
Christmas, because I was supposed to be born on Christmas, but I was born 10 days early, December 15th. So I kind of just celebrate that whole week.
Yeah, heck yeah. That's very cool. You're hosting a dinner party, and you can invite 1 famous person, living or dead. Who would you invite?
Steve Harris, Iron Maiden.
Wow. Awesome. No hesitation at all. Look at that. That is very cool. Excellent. Abby, thank you for being our guest today. I know this is not probably what you were expecting at all. And to our listeners, I know we didn't focus on cars too much, but I'm hoping this was a nice diversion from our normal nerdity and nonsense. Abby, please keep us posted. Let us know if you come through the Atlanta area at any time. We'd be happy to come see you perform. And if you know you have, we can ever help you with your career or with the car thing, you know where to find us. Thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for coming, Abby.
Rock on.
And that should do it. With 6 minutes to spare, that's not bad at all. Is there anything else, Abby, that you think we should talk about real quick before we really wrap up today?
I'm good.
Cool. Tim, Ben?
Yeah. No, it was fun.
It was fun.
Other than I got a paycheck from NASCAR a few weeks ago.
You did? What? How?
Okay, so...
Hold on.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.